Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Soul Train Thursday edition of RBKD. And I must once again compliment my man Trey Elling, who's DJing our Soul Train Thursdays and helping us out, actually, working overtime today. James Brown, probably for me, he is among... If I had to, like, choose, you know that island game, right, where you would go to some desert island and then you had to choose two or three artists and listen to their discography for the rest of your life on the desert island or whatever?
I always pick Nicki Taylor and Beyonce and chicks.
I'm telling you, James Brown would be highly underrated in that game.
She doesn't sing Nicki, but yeah.
You mean
the actual game where they go and they're like, well, that's no fun.
You actually want Beyonce there with you. And all that. Yeah, that's not the game.
No. Yeah, for sex. Not
discography.
Music.
Yo, just the music.
I get you. And James Brown would be a good choice on
no,
that.
No, I'm just saying, like, he's underrated in that game. James Brown is the most sampled, one of the most sampled artists, if not the most sampled artist in the history of music, and it's because of hip-hop. Because hip-hop artists have taken a ton of James Brown, Godfather of Soul, one of the Godfathers of Funk, too, and taken a ton of his stuff and used it in hip-hop. He's been great. It's my dad's favorite artist. So
is it really?
James Brown, yeah. I was back in the day driving around in what they used to call the cars that had what
Cutlass.
No, it had.
I just want to throw something out. Old.
I got it. White Broncos.
No, well done. Not that.
Well done. Like that. Yeah. A little AC Cowlings reference.
It was
there.
Rod's uncle who was driving.
What was it? El Camino.
Is
that the truck?
I was close with the Cutlass.
The truck. Yes, the car truck combo.
The car truck.
Yes.
That's what we called it as a kid. Me and my brother, the car truck. My dad had a yellow El Camino. He'd roll around jamming James Brown all the time with an afro, no seatbelt on. Man, he was cool. That's my pops cool. I'm the reason he's not cool anymore.
Is he smoking a cig?
No, but he was probably smoking something back then. He was cool, man. He was cool back then. He was jamming James Brown. I remember that back in the day. So thank you, Trey.
That's a great visual. There. Hey, Bill Withers looked him up. There was nothing there. I was thinking of some other probably artist.
Some of the shady
dudes.
Who
just had something going on.
Yeah, also, a lot of shady early rock and roll pioneers.
Oh, God, yeah.
And like these R&B and rock and roll, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. No, trust me, I know.
Priscilla was 13.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, man.
Jerry Lee Lewis was with somebody who was around that age
a
as well.
Teenager, yeah.
Mm. The Priscilla thing was cool because her parents were cool with it. I'm not saying it's cool. I'm saying that's why
it floated by. Her parents actually gave consent. Yeah.
Oh, what, Elvis? You want our daughter? You want to eventually woo her and have her hand in marriage? Yeah, go ahead and live with her now, Priscilla.
Please.
Priscilla? Yeah. Hey, as far as James Brown goes and Austin Music, obviously, and current acts who have a little bit of a James Brown feel to them, have you ever listened to Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears?
Yes.
Good stuff.
I forgot who introduced me to it, too, but it was a while ago, and I had a friend that introduced me to it, too.
One who introduced me.
And honestly, it might have been somebody on the station, because you guys do a great job just talking music all the time, all the shows, and sometimes and with your new music, was it Tuesday? Do you still do that? New Music Tuesdays?
New Music Friday on
Friday,
a Monday, yeah.
There you go. And every time, y'all get some new music out of there. But you're right. I mean, there aren't a lot of artists. Bruno Mars has a lot of James Brown influence in some of his stuff. There aren't a ton of artists that have the James Brown influence. Well, you actually can. It's almost tangible. Right? You can pick it out.
Yeah. Bruno's like a James Brown, Michael Jackson hybrid.
Totally agree. That's a great description. It is. And you should like Bruno Mars.
I do.
Okay.
Talk about a shout out there.
Yeah, no, that's a great description.
Such a big compliment. No, it's a good description, but a great compliment.
Description's on the money there. We'll get to Cowboys here in a second, but there's some news that just broke probably 30, 45 minutes ago. I didn't even know this. I was actually talking to Trey in the break, and Trey broke the news to me that Antonio Brown is going to be suspended.
That was my reference earlier.
And I didn't even get the reference. I thought you were talking about one of his other crazy, you know, shenanigans.
You are
some
married.
Some of his other antics.
You are married because you played that off perfectly.
I really did.
I didn't know.
But think about it. You could have been talking about a number of different things.
Hey, honey, that's hilarious. I don't know what she was talking about. She's crazy. It's menopause, and it's just a lot of stuff going on.
You're talking about the guy that threw candy penises at police. Like, you could be talking about a number of things with this guy. He's all over the place. So I didn't know.
Do you remember the HBO? What's the NFL show they do? I always forget
the
name.
It's not Inside the NFL.
No.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever they had...
Yeah.
Remember him like at the Berkeley High School game?
I know. I forgot all about that. No, he was there.
He was
this
off
the
his
brief
meds
time that he was playing
meds.
With the Raiders?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is when he put his feet into the... the cryo chamber.
Which
thank you.
So brash with his abilities, so rooster sure that he decided it would be a good idea to walk into a cryo chamber barefoot.
Barefoot.
And one of the few times I've been naked with Trey was actually Saturday. That was fun. But cryo chamber. Trey got me onto that.
What's your
place here in Austin?
U.S. Cryotherapy Austin, 31st and North Lamar. Chase does an awesome job there.
It works, man.
It does.
I used to be in the league back in the day. We were in there,
and I'm not a big safety guy, but I got in there and I thought, okay, this is serious.
Oh,
what do I need? And the fact that he went in there without slippers on?
I think all the extremities, they're supposed to cover them up, like your hands too. Put gloves on?
Yeah, your hands, your ears, and any orifice, of course.
Right.
Yeah, so, man.
And I protected my nipples.
I think the nipples should be protected.
With my own hands.
I'm with you, Dad.
Yeah. And Chase had to tell me, he said, Kevin, open your eyes. Because I was trying, like most things in life, I try to get through with my eyes closed.
Oh.
And you can't do it. He goes, open your eyes. Because they could...
They can shut.
They'll freeze shut, and then
is that a real thing?
Your lashes will freeze, and you try to open your eyes, when you actually do, oftentimes your lashes will get ripped off in the process.
This is a real concern.
He told me that.
I didn't know that.
So I opened my eyes.
It was actually me that told Kevin that. I yelled to him because we were standing next to one another in the chamber. Open your eyes.
But then Trey just might be messing with
you. Yeah, and then I go, "Where's your other hand?" That's different.
It's a different experience with Trey.
That was a different trip.
Different time.
Different time with Trey.
Well, the latest comes from New York Times on Antonio Brown, who has done a lot of crazy things in his time. Another crazy thing he is now, I guess, guilty of, because not just accused of, is faking a vaccine card, faking his vaccination status.
This is totally believable.
The New York Times says on Thursday evening, the NFL suspended Tampa Bay Bucks star receiver Antonio Brown and cornerback Mike Edwards. Without pay for the next three games.
Edwards or Evans?
Mike Edwards, it says. Cornerback.
Okay, cornerback, gotcha.
Without pay for the next three games for misrepresenting their vaccination status. So I wonder what that term encompasses, misrepresenting. So I was like, I misremembered, right? Like, what does that encompass?
It's such a political BS term.
Did he lie about it? Did he get a fake vaccine card?
Yes.
That's basically what it means?
He turned in a vaccine card that has falsified info. And he only got busted because his chef ratted him out a couple of weeks ago.
The one he owed money to.
He still owed the guy money. And when you're going to be a little bit of an S-bag like Antonio Brown can be to people, and you want to decide not to pay folks who also get to see what you're doing in your life,
wow,
you run the risk of something like this. I actually wonder, guys, if more players, not just in football, but across pro sports have done something like this. It's probably not a huge percentage, but I guarantee you this is not an isolated incident.
I know regular citizens who have not only made money off of producing fake vaccine cards, but I know people that have bought them. And I know people have used them at airports, like to get into like different countries. Like it's a legit business.
Rob was talking about this.
It's crazy.
I want to say it was like this summer. It was right before football season.
It's a
and
big
we brought
business.
A story like this up. And Wright goes, "Oh, I know about that. The hermit I am, and this is a great excuse for me not to go to something I don't want to."
Yeah.
So the last thing I would do is fake a card. I go, "No, I don't have a card. Are you vaccinated?" "No," even though I am. Right? It's one of those deals. He's the opposite of that. You said it was concerts, random stuff.
Yeah, to get into concerts. And apparently, American vaccine cards are the easiest to fake.
Hmm.
Because they're just, I mean, they're just paper cards with signatures on them, most of them. They don't really have any. Like, you know, there's any graphic or holographic part to it that would make it really
tough.
It's
not like the ID where the bouncer would put it under a light like and say, there's the hologram.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. It really is just a paper card with a signature on it. And then they do have the numbers, like the serial numbers that could match up to the actual vaccine. But I don't know if they get that in depth when they're actually trying to find out if it's a fake vaccine card or not.
Yeah, most places will just accept a picture on a phone. Which is even easier to fake.
I didn't think
here in Texas, I mean, it differs. If you're out in California, it's something completely different, or New York or Illinois. But in Texas or Florida, if there is that requirement, which in most places there won't be, yeah, it's pretty easy to fake. Now, I'm still in that category of unvaccinated people who is having to get tested every time I go to an event. I'm going to Bob Saget tomorrow night. It's either vax card or negative test within 48 hours. So
but you had it too, right?
I've had it, so I'm not as concerned because of previous infection and the acquired immunity from that. But I am going to have to pay Total Men's tomorrow to test me fortunate that we're all broadcasting from Total Men's, where it's a little bit easier before I go to the Saget show tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's interesting that... Yeah, I mean, because Amari Cooper is unvaccinated, and I guess he just revealed, like, hey, I'm unvaccinated, and you have different protocols you go through as an NFL player,
as
opposed to
ten days
when you catch it and all that, and you have to have, I want to say you have to be without asymptomatic when you come back, as opposed to if you're vaccinated, 5 days on the protocol list, and you have to have a negative test 24 hours apart.
Okay.
So I don't know why he just didn't decide, hey, man, I'm unvaccinated, and I just got different protocols. Why fake it?
It's ridiculous. And with the Aaron Rodgers story from a couple of weeks ago, I understand some of the points that he was trying to make on the Pat McAfee show. But because he was so dishonest initially, I felt no sympathy for him there. It's like, man, you dug yourself into this own hole by misrepresenting what you were when asked about it in the preseason. Surprisingly, the media never followed up with him because it was obvious with the answer that he gave at the time that there was something fishy going on there.
I'm immunized.
It was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant.
We're looking back
I know it was dishonest and deceptive, but considering he was just trying, he was technically telling the truth in his eyes. He's like,
it was very Costanza.
It's not a lie if you believe it. I am immunized. Yeah. It's like, what?
That's something Costanza would have said.
It is.
If there was
a
Seinfeld now during this, Costanza would have done that.
Yeah, I'm surprised Larry David doesn't use it.
Aaron, you're taking 500 milligrams of vitamin C each night. You're not immunized, buddy.
Mrs. Sokol, I'm looking and listening. And I'm immunized.
Is it? Well, you know where that comes from. That comes from Shailene Woodley, his fiance, who also likes to suntan her vajayjay.
Well, that I'm down for.
And get vitamin D that way.
I'm down for.
What the sun? What the suntanning of the vajayjay?
To
basking.
Pretty much any vajayjay that's in public, I'm down for.
Yeah. Well, no, she's a hippie though. She like eats. She like makes her own soap.
Yeah.
She's really a taint bather.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah, she is.
She makes her own toothpaste.
She makes her own toothpaste.
No, she is. Yeah. She's crazy.
No, she
out
does.
There.
She does. She believes in what did you go? but no, she leaves in like she wants her vajayjay to get sun, so she will like like really just open it up and
that's been a big Hollywood
for a
thing
minutes.
The last couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah, basking.
Which I'm not. Once again, I'm down for.
Well, you're not hating on it. I'm not mad at it. If it helps your
it's like the whole breastfeeding thing.
No, man, I'm not.
You have any issues with that, Kevin? Breast in public? Nah, go for it.
Go for it. Helping the kids.
More the merrier.
Unlike, well, I guess like breastfeeding. There is a fine line, though, when you're sunbathing down there, like getting the right amount of sun versus even getting slightly sunburned. That is something.
I don't know how that's a good thing. That's a good point. I don't know how that works.
Right.
I mean, because it hasn't had a lot of sun, so I imagine it gets burned pretty quickly. That area down there. Anybody's area down there. But I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but if you're that big of a hippie, then you probably have protection with hair.
Oh, you think she's still? Oh man, Aaron Rodgers is just. You think she's that much of a hippie?
If she's making her own toothpaste, yes, I do.
Yeah, she does make her own toothpaste.
Wow, she makes her own toothpaste.
She does. No, they say she eats clay.
Yeah, she eats clay.
She eats clay.
Why? Man, this is deep even for me as somebody who understands this world a little bit.
Yeah, you know it better than Rod and I do.
No, I did some research on her, and I figured out it basically that Aaron Rodgers' new hippie philosophy where he's, you know, based kind of homeopathic.
Right.
It's kind of inspired by Shailene
Woodley.
He's
clay whipped.
He's got some of that in him naturally anyway, because maybe California, that kind of thing, but she has now taken him to a whole nother hippie level, man. And good for him. He's playing great right now.
Yeah. What is the best edible clay with maximum health benefits according to herbandclay.com?
Oh, yeah. No, dude, I'm telling you, she's fascinating. Here's her quote on, we'll go to the Cowboys after this. Here's her quote on.
This is almost too good to not, though.
Here's her quote about giving her vajayjay some sun. She says, I like to give my vagina a little vitamin D. She said, I was reading an article written by an herbalist about yeast infections and other general issues, and she said, there's nothing better than vitamin D.
Because she read one article from an herbalist.
She said, if you're feeling depleted, go in the sun for an hour and see how much energy you get, or you live in a place that has heavy winters.
I agree with that.
When the sun finally comes out, spread your legs and let it get some sunshine. End quote.
Everything is true there except for maybe the penis or the vajayjay.
Nope.
And maybe it probably does help, but... I'm not risking that.
Why don't you go? Yeah, don't you see if it helps?
Yeah, you've never been a white boy sunburn.
I know exactly. I would not.
You don't know what that feeling is like.
I have a lot of Caucasian family now.
Yes,
and I always tell them, hey, you need to apply sunscreen.
You ever been? You've been hitting the balls though, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, it's that worse and burns more and longer.
And then sometimes your skin comes off.
Oh,
right?
Trey, tell him. You and I have the complexion that, it's being sunburned and really sunburned is awful.
Destin, Florida, 1993. First day out there. This is maybe the heaviest that I was. It was right before I drank Ultra Slim Fast for an entire summer and literally dropped 40 pounds.
That white kid.
Shirtless, too. He's out there shirtless.
He's got his C-cups rolling around.
Forgot to. B-plus.
Sorry.
B-plus cups. Forgot to put sunscreen on and literally could not go outside for the next 3 days. Missed most of the vacation because I got sun poisoning.
Wow.
Good thing is you fit in with all the other fat kids with a t-shirt on the beach.
I still rolled shirtless after that. Ugh. I just had to wait for the sun poisoning to go down a little bit.
Sun poisoning?
Yeah.
That's something that white people throw around the term because I didn't even know it was a thing. Sun poisoning?
You should.
I believe it though. I've seen some bad sunburns. I'm like, and for white people, how do y'all forget sunscreen? Sunscreen for white people should be black people and lotion.
Totally
like,
agree.
I'm never going to be ashy like Kevin Durant because I carry lotion all the time.
Right.
But did you have that moment in your life where you had forgotten
yes.
for a little bit
yes, I
and
did.
You end up ashy? So that's
yes.
what I did with the
did.
Sunscreen
yes.
and I don't forget it anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you're right. It's a good point. If you get made fun of for having them ashy ankles enough, then...
Black people in general are better with lotions in their skin than white people.
Yes, this is true.
I understand that.
No, I agree with that.
Billions of people
in there. No, you are right about that.
There's both on both sides.
No, you are right. And white people...
I've done the numbers.
You are white. And you've dated enough
in a majority.
Of both sides here.
I love cocoa butter.
You should.
I've used a lot of Buc-ee's in here.
Oh, yeah. It smells amazing.
It smells great.
And
feels good.
And it moisturizes. Listen, black don't crack because we moisturize. Okay? Anyway, let's get on to
Cowboys Saints.
You know who's better at lotioning than either of those two groups?
Oh,
you would say the Asian friends? Asian
no.
brothers and sisters? Who?
Burn victims.
All right.
Okay, see? Come on.
You were about 10 seconds away.
We should have just moved on to the Cowboys. We were so
transitioning.
Darn it.
And not that everything was great before that. But
we could have at least transitioned without feeling bad about ourselves.
Yeah.
And now we all feel bad because of Trey. Thanks, Trey. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys. This is why the Cowboys.
I could have said OJ.
You should have just said OJ. We all feel good about making and mocking OJ.
So Tyrone Smith, he's about an hour away here, Rod. Would you lotion up and oil up for a game?
No, I wouldn't lotion up a ton. I would put lotion on that day, but not right before the game because lotion makes you sweat.
Oh.
And then your hands get slippery.
Well,
bad hands anyway.
That explains you. You should have said you were lotioning up during the game.
I was always worried about, you know, when people like Jerry Gray back in the day had the Jerry Curl.
Oh,
I was wondering how the Jerry Curl worked under the helmet because
yeah.
it was so juicy. It would come down into your eyes.
Yeah.
The juice and blind you.
I got into a practice. We just snuck in my mom and my grandma and it was a fake birthday present from my uncle who was broke. And it was like 1984. So I'm 6 years old. Jerry Gray is my favorite player with Mike Wacker and Billy Bates.
Love me some Jerry
And
Gray.
So we got in there, and Jerry was sitting out that practice.
Oh, yeah.
And it was old school cameras. And we're taking a picture, and my grandma, Mimi, love her to death, Lucille, is like, she always would have issues. She's like, well, I don't know. Like, the camera's not working. And so we're like waiting to take the picture, and I've got my arm around Jerry Gray.
Jerry Gray's there with you.
I'm like, oh, my God. I
Please.
Can die right now. And then it wouldn't take the picture, and I thought, this is so embarrassing.
And you never got the picture?
Jerry Gray said, let me see the camera, ma'am, and fixed it, and we were able to take the picture. I got the picture on my desk right now.
I want to see that picture.
I'll bring it in.
Yeah, bring that picture in of you and Jerry
Boy,
Gray.
Boy, it was a great Jerry
Did he
curl.
Have the Jerry Curl working?
Yeah.
Was it juicy?
Yeah, it was.
Still shining?
Yep.
It's beautiful.
Were you wearing sweatpants in the picture?
Okay. No, I was wearing really tight, short Texas shorts and with a really cheap, like Texas practice jersey.
You're just setting yourself up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because he knows I wore sweatpants all in fourth grade. I wore sweatpants every day.
You did?
Yeah.
I saw
right here at Forest Trail.
I saw a class picture from my fourth grade year And I felt so close to you in this moment because I looked down and God, was I a dork, but I was also wearing sweatpants.
Yeah. What kind of sweat? Are we talking about jogging pants? Are we talking about modern sweatpants? Where you like, you know what I mean? They're different.
I would switch it up.
You talking about jogging pants?
I would wear some jogging pants.
The drawstring?
But I would also wear sweatpants.
We're talking 1980s sweatpants here.
Like, I don't care about life.
I think those are jogging pants. I think those are like old school jogging pants.
Are they? Or are they just sweatpants for little boys?
My sweats these days are different from the pants that we wore sweats in the 80s.
Exactly. I know what you're saying. This is pre Lululemon Viore day sweatpants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like
these had a little LL Cool J or like Run DMC into them. So they were cooler. But I would also wear. Wow. I'm not 10. I'm 55 and heartbroken and dead with life. Kind of like Stephen Kabler. And these sweatpants he was wearing yesterday, which really said I've been drinking for four straight days.
My woman just broke up with me, sweatpants.
Woman broke up with me.
Rocky Balboa.
If I die tomorrow, good.
That's it.
Running through the streets of Philadelphia.
Those kind of sweatpants. Those are jogging pants to me. That's old school jogging pants, bro. Okay. You were wearing jogging pants in school?
Yeah. I was a fat fourth grader.
I wasn't fat, but I wasn't going to... But girls didn't like
them. They don't even have pockets.
So
did
it
they?
Didn't matter.
They have pockets back then?
Mine
you didn't did. Need pockets. You just stick stuff in your waistband.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Mine had pockets.
Okay.
I would stick stuff in there.
Wow. I just learned a lot about
so
you
so Westlake,
guys.
Even before you was officially in the Westlake district.
This is why you guys are the reason that they instituted dress codes.
Probably.
Jogging pants in school. It's like, man, no, these kids are wearing jogging pants, man. Gotta at least wear some khakis or something.
I remember our gym teacher actually said, he goes, you wear sweatpants every day. And I go, yeah, I don't have to change for this class. And
strangely enough, though, the kids though, the kids now, that's what they wear. They wear athletic gear to school.
Yeah,
they don't have to wear uniforms.
We weren't being cool enough. It wasn't athletic gear.
Well, athleisure for your pleasure.
Okay.
Kind of stuff. All right. We didn't get Cowboys talk in there.
I'm gonna bet that we're gonna talk Cowboys coming up next. If you want to bet though, Rod.
How about your bet with MyBookie? That's a hell of a lead-in. I appreciate it, brother. My friends at MyBookie, they are here for you, folks. And right now, it's time for you to win big. Everybody's trying to cash in on the next best crypto. But if you want a guaranteed way to double your cash, all you need to do is use the promo code HORN at MyBookie. It's simple. Sign up at MyBookie with the promo code HORN, and you can double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. How's that for a quick turnaround on your investment? So with the NFL playoff race heating up and the College Bowl season just around the corner, double your firepower, that means double your cash. Right now at MyBookie and get in on the action. You can build your own prop bets, create multi-game parlays, take part in all of the great contests and the cash prize contest right now at MyBookie. This is the best time of year for you to both watch sports and to bet on sports because you know who all the winners are and you can be one of the winners right now at MyBookie. So use the promo code HORN to double your first deposit when signing up at MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Best thing about it was that, like I said, Jerry Gray fixed the camera and did it right away. And you don't know if it's fixed until you actually get it back.
Until you develop the film.
To develop the film.
Yeah.
So I was waiting, and when it came back and the film was developed, I thought, this guy's even better than I thought.
Man, fix his cameras too.
He's an All-American. He's a camera guy. Can't wait to watch him with the Rams. Hey, we'll talk some Cowboys coming up next. Also, our Supreme Lending picks. We may wait till tomorrow if we don't have time on that. But we're talking NFL either way coming up next. Welcome back, RBKD. We're getting you ready for Cowboys and Saints. Don't forget, 1260. Probably should have told y'all earlier. 1260 is where you can catch that if you want to listen to Cowboys pregame.
That's right.
Then obviously the Cowboys game. We got Longhorn Weekly with Coach Beard live coming up at 7 o'clock. And then The Right Call with Isaiah Collier. Great basketball show coming up at 8. So, you know, ARN, we're keeping you...
Don't go anywhere. Don't change the dial.
Keeping you happy.
Yeah.
With a lot of different stuff.
Unless you want to go out to actual pluckers and go join.
Yeah,
Craig
you can
Way
do that. Rio Grande.
Chris Beard. Yeah.
That's live. We'll be live in
I
a
bet
little
that's going to be popping. You
less
said
than 30.
Sometimes they buy food for the
I've
for
heard.
The college students
I've listened
sometimes.
To it before. Yeah.
Man, that's fantastic. So that would be pretty cool. And we didn't talk Cowboys. Last segment, so I'll give out a quick little nugget about the Cowboys. My man Bobby Bell threw this out there. I think it might sum up at least the expectation for the Cowboys in this game. This will be the first game all season long based on my man Bobby Belt at Bobby Belt TX. He's the one that threw it out there. It'll be the first game all season long where Dak has all three of his top receivers available. That's Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup. And also Tyron Smith available at left tackle and Zach Martin available on the O-line.
Yeah, that's right.
First game all year.
Because Zach would have missed Tampa Bay because of COVID.
Exactly. And then Tyron Smith
And Gallup was out really early.
He was out early. And then Amari Cooper went through his issues. So you just had, you know, a lot of uncertainty and instability on that offense because of injuries and COVID and suspensions and all that kind of stuff. Remember, Lyle Collins had his issues?
Lyle Collins did. Yeah. It's funny because I'm listening to national people. And trust me, I didn't grow up a Cowboys fan. And I'm not a Cowboys fan now. I have noticed that just following them and watching them so much, and the fact that they sucked for so long. I mean, in the 90s, I loved watching the Cowboys lose. A lot of that's the Niners.
Well, I'd say you're a 49er.
I used to get off on watching them lose. Mm. And then there's probably people that are like this that live in Austin for a long time that don't like Texas. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, this is getting too far. Like,
yeah, it's like
has the mouse cornered. We need to make this a game.
I've gotten my Cowboys hatred out now. Now I would like to see you win.
And what I've realized is I actually have kind of started to like them a little bit, and I'm a quasi Cowboys fan. With all that said, I'm certainly not going to come on here and be a homer about the Cowboys. I feel like you and I, and probably a lot of the shows, probably at least nationally, considering the morning's crap that I was listening to this morning, not Buck and Aaron. TV stuff, to where maybe we're overrating Dallas. Are we? I'm taking into account all the guys they've missed, though.
No, well, I thought early in the season they were doing a good job of doing more with less, right? We talked about all the injuries they were dealing with. DeMarcus Lawrence went out early on the first game of the season. He went out, and you didn't have him. We talked about Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, the offensive line, all the reshuffling they've done there. And yet we saw them winning games in spite of that. Hell, they won with Dak out.
Yeah.
And right? We were like, oh, man, we said at that point, this is a different Cowboys team. There's more substance to this Cowboys team.
Against the second best rated quarterback out there.
What?
Kirk Cousins has actually had a stellar year. I know, we don't want to admit it, guys.
I know.
And I'm going to continue. 23 touchdowns, like three picks.
I'm going to continue to hate on him because.
Well, understandably so.
As soon as I jump on the Kirk Cousins bandwagon, he's going to make me look bad for being a waffler because then he's going to have his worst game.
You like that, Rod?
But you're right. No, you are right about that. I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy, but he's having a hell of a season.
Getting back to your point, that was a good win. They've had wins where they've been missing a lot of people. I understand you're missing people in the NFL, but and listening to some of these national people, I thought, well, am I stuck in the clouds here?
No.
Because I still think this is a good team when they're ready to go, when they're all ready to go.
Yeah, lately they just haven't been that at all. And the running game is not what it was. Remember we talked about how adaptable the offense was, right? That they could beat you in a number of ways. Beat you with the running game. They could beat you with Dak throwing it 50 times. They could beat you by featuring the tight ends, right? They could beat you with the running backs in the passing game. They lost that adaptability somewhere along the way. Maybe it's because of injuries. But in this game, they got to get back to some of that. They haven't been able to run the ball either. I mean, they're only averaging like a little bit under 80 rushing yards per game since week 6. They got to get back to being able to run the football and being a multi-dimensional offense.
I believe 83 is the most they've had since then.
It's been tough for them to run the football, and I think it's because of the injuries. They haven't been as lethal in the passing game, and teams would have to devote so allocated resources to stop the Cowboys passing game when they had those three full complement of wide receivers that it would leave teams vulnerable to the running game. Now with those guys, you know, Gallup being hurt, Amari Cooper being hurt, CeeDee Lamb being hurt at different times, they're just not as formidable in the passing game. And you can play bump and run on these wide receivers and you can jam them.
You brought
and
that
be
up.
Physical against them and it does give them problems.
It does. And I think maybe gashing the Cowboys defense with the run and then defensively against the Cowboys offense, jamming those wide receivers. I think those are things that you can take moving forward if you have the right personnel.
Yeah.
So if you've got the personnel to play man-on-man and play that in the back end, then...
And most people don't.
Most people don't. That's the reality of it. Yeah. I'm going to ask both of you guys here. Dallas, 6.5-point favorite. Rod, you've been on this all year. Considering the Saints and what they don't have, I understand it's at the Superdome. That's great. They're missing everyone.
They are.
Dallas wins this by a couple touchdowns, don't they?
Dallas has the second best record in the NFL against the spread. Them and the Arizona Cardinals are tied for second. I think the Green Bay Packers are 10-2 against the spread. So I would take the Cowboys to cover because the Saints don't have their starting quarterback. They don't have their top wide receiver, their top running back, their starting left tackle, starting right tackle, starting left guard, or starting tight end. So if the Cowboys can't win this game, then, you know, they have serious fatal flaws that we do have to worry about. And we have been overhyping them.
Yeah.
That's the case.
Trey, you're right about that. If they lose this tomorrow, I'll come in and say, hey, I guess I was wrong. You're not a degenerate gambler, but 6.5, you'd lay that, wouldn't you?
I think so. To Rod's point, there are just too many pieces missing for a side of the ball that needs every weapon available with Taysom Hill's limitations as a quarterback. Defensively, they're still really good, great at getting after the QB. Mm-hmm. Lattimore is obviously one of the best cover corners in the league, but think back a couple of weeks to their game with Buffalo, and Stephon Diggs absolutely abused him. I could see CeeDee Lamb doing something very similar. Those guys move similarly in terms of getting in and out of routes, and I do think the Cowboys do get back on track tonight in probably a 7-10 point fashion. So, yeah, I'd lay the 6.5.
Mm-hmm. See, I feel good about it, actually. If I put money on it,
I do too.
It's more about the injuries are basically
for the Saints.
What the Saints don't have available,
right.
More than what the Cowboys do have. And the Cowboys should be desperate. It's not a must win. You're not out of the playoff hunt or anything if you lose. You're not going to lose the division if you lose. But in terms of, you know, you don't want to be lose, you know, a team that's lost, what, 4 out of the last 5? They lost 3 out of the last 4. But you'd be talking about a team that's lost 4 out of the last 5, that means you have no momentum. That is the start of a downward spiral.
In 3 and 2 weeks.
So I think that's why the Cowboys will come out with a sense of urgency. And you'll get a really good start from the Cowboys. If they do have a clunky, ugly start, though, then I would be a little bit worried if I'm a Cowboys fan, because that's what the Saints want. I've said it before. Sean Payton is MacGyver, right? He has a 13-7 record since 2019 without Drew Brees. Man, that's a guy that can, you know, kind of, you know, bootleg something together with a Taysom Hill and figure out a way to make the offense just clunky enough to be able to score points or to be able to control the ball and play keep away. And that's probably what he's going to be trying to play in this game, is keep away. Keep the ball away from Dak.
One of my favorite Ricky Williams moves of all time was 1995. They're stuck in their end zone, going left to right if you're looking on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky gets a counter. Of course, it's a counter, Trey. Makes a couple moves, and as he's starting to get out in the open, there's this white defensive back, number 39, the safety, who is kind of behind him and cutting towards his right.
Okay.
And is about to clip him, but in a legal way.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Ricky's peripheral. I love peripheral. Love Ricky's, love Rocket his smiles. I love that. When you got eyes in the back of your head,
yeah,
could feel him, see him, sense him, and Ricky just gave this whoop. Like, stopped and then cut right, which only Ricky could do.
Yeah, just a little shimmy.
Dennis Allen.
The guy? No
defensive
way.
Defensive coordinator for the Saints.
Wow.
Who, he's a much better coordinator than he was a safety. He was a good safety.
Damn.
You know I don't like white DBs.
How did you remember that?
Oh, I'll never forget that.
He hopes you forget that. You're the only person that still remembers
Dennis Allen. If I ever run into Dennis Allen, trust me.
He remembered that, but he doesn't remember how to pronounce peripheral.
Yeah, that too. I know. I'm like, oh, I don't
peripheral
think I said that right.
It's a tough one. Peripheral is a tough
peripheral.
One.
Peripheral.
Yeah, peripheral.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. You have a sickness, sir. I cannot believe you remembered that and you were able to connect it to the Cowboys game tonight. Very well done.
He's
there
got
you
a
go.
Problem.
There
man.
You go.
Yeah, can't remember a woman's birthday, though.
Nope. And need to relearn their English language. But guess what? I'll tell you where Dan Campbell or Dennis Allen were. Hey, we'll be back to tell you what's on tap. This is The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash you?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really
man,
good.
That is good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to RBKD. Getting ready to wrap things up and put it in the oven. We are done for the day. Before we get out of here, we'll let you know what's on tap. As a matter of fact, you want to stick around after we're done. Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard and the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way. That's live from Pluckers right there on campus, Rio Grande location. So get on over there if you're in the neighborhood. But if not, you can hear it right here on 104.9 The Horn. Then after that, with the right call, with my man Isaiah Collier at Ain't That underscore Zay in the Twitterverse.
Nailed it.
A follow. But yeah, so all night long, don't go anywhere. Stay around right here. But if you want to hear the Dallas Cowboys game, AM 1260.
That's it.
Boom. There you
go. That's it. You're good to go, man.
Hey. Oh, and now thanks to Trey and Zay.
And Zay.
But thanks to Trey for helping us out, sticking around, working overtime, just so that we can bring you our BKD.
Yeah, we're lucky. We had two of the best producers, but more importantly, two of the best on-air people. Certainly, Zay is great, but Trey does a show every day, and so we got both those guys on. This was an easy one.
Yeah, seriously. We definitely profited from the free agent pool, I guess, of
we hit the transfer
talent.
Portal the way that Texas needs to.
There you go. That's right.
Right? Yeah. We got a Kenneth Walker coming in and not... I'm not going to give any names.
Please don't.
Was that linebacker from New Mexico State again?
Oh, right.
Devin.
No, it's fine.
Made a couple plays. Okay?
In the name of Gabe Watson.
Hey, I got to get on ESPN. I did work there for a little while, and so I got nothing. I mean, honestly, I have no bad feelings. It was probably the most toxic place I ever worked. But outside of that, the actual company, last night, so Marcus Freeman gets hired, and they put out on the tweet that Notre Dame hired their first black head coach ever.
Oh, no.
Look, none of us want to remember as Notre Dame fans Tyrone Willingham's time. Let's not do that. It also reminds me of the pressure that anyone who's filling a job, a big job, and it is transcendent and it is new, so that can be anything. It can be female, that can be minority, that can be a big job, though, and the pressure that's put on them. Look, a lot of white guys probably failed at that before, so let's not put all of that on, because I was actually very, very happily, not surprised, but I was very happy to see all these older white Notre Dame people telling me, no, I want Marcus Freeman.
He's the guy.
It had nothing to do with race.
Mm-hmm.
It was, he's the guy.
Yep.
So just kind of remember that whenever there's been one person to fill that box and they didn't do a good job, which Tyrone did
Willingham.
An awful job. And it had nothing to do with him being black.
No, he's just a bad coach.
Just a bad coach.
Right. He wasn't a bad black coach. He was a bad coach.
Right. Like Jerry Faust was. Who was white?
Exactly.
Like Bob Davey was. Who was white?
It's unfair, but if you're the first African-American, first Asian, or
first female,
first Latino at that in that position, in all walks of life, not just sports, there's going to be an unfair amount of pressure put on you and expectation that, you better be good. And a lot of that is, if you are a minority, say you're the first woman in, hell, I think the Astros just hired a young lady.
They did, yeah.
For their front office, right? She's one of the first women to be hired at a front office position.
She'd been working somewhere else. Where was she at? She was like
Brewers,
I think.
She's
Milwaukee,
with the Brewers. But yeah, everybody believes that for you as a minority to have risen to that point in your career in that industry,
that much better than
you probably are. You have to be pretty damn good. I mean, I assume you have to be. So that's, I think, part of the expectations are unfair expectations are because of that. Is that you must be the best, the cream of the crop, for you to be the first black, or the first Asian, or the first woman, or the first Latino. It's like, yeah, I am, but I'm also human, and I can screw this thing up
like
any other white person does.
And like any job in life, I may be good at something else, and I get into the situation and, for whatever reason, it may be really all on me and that I just wasn't good enough
for
the job.
I wasn't ready, whatever.
But there could be circumstances that go into it.
Yeah, young people have to deal with that too. And Marcus Freeman, he's 35.
Yeah, right. He's dealing with it like from every
ageism
angle.
Ageism is a part of it too. It's like, well, you're only 35. You really can handle being the head coach at Notre Dame? And it's like, well, some people, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah.
And we saw there with guys like Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day. And if you're good enough, you're old enough.
And Elvis, getting back, tying this all full circle.
Wow. I don't even know what to say that. You know what? You did tie full circle.
What was Priscilla good enough at, Kevin?
Okay, you know what? How many more minutes we got? Can we start the music?
Playing house.
Can we just see? We're doing so well.
This is why we always have short segments. on the last one, because we get, you and I automatically get there, need, and you throw in.
We don't need 7-8 minutes because we get ourselves in trouble.
I tell you what, let's ask Trey, because you and I ask about the second and the third and junior and all that.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yes.
Ronald Edling the third, Trey. So Trey and I, or Rod and I have been trying to figure out, when do you go junior and when do you go the second?
When you start going numbers.
Because the second sounds very royal.
I think it's just personal preference. Like, do you actually know seconds in modern times?
Oh, yeah, there are plenty of them.
Second? Well, your dad's a second, right?
But he goes by junior, though. I think it is just personal preference. The parents will say junior or second.
You can go from junior to the third and Trey?
Yeah. Yeah, because he is junior.
Oh.
And then I'm the third. And then we thought about calling Calvin the fourth, a.k.a. Quat, for a while. But we decided against that one.
Yeah. Thank God y'all decided to call him Quat. That just sounds like a derogatory,
it's
dirty
term.
It's
too close. It's too close.
Yeah, it is too close.
It's like having the last name Saget, you know? It's just not going to go well for you in elementary school.
Tell people where to go to get Books on Pod.
Oh, man.
Booksonpod.com. It's pretty simple. We have a video element now as of the Oliver Stone episode last week and Bob Saget this week.
I'm going to go listen to that later on tonight. Trey, we appreciate it, brother. Always a good time. Get
Thanks,
to 1260
guys.
To listen to Cowboys and Saints Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard live at Pluckers on campus. You can still have time to get by there. That's coming up next. Then The Right Call with Isaiah Collier is coming up at 8 o'clock. We appreciate everyone who's been listening. Get to hornfm.com. Get the Horn app. Don't forget, you got B&E tomorrow. Light the Tower, then Shirts and Skins. And we'll be back for Trey, for Rod, for Zay. I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.